Welcome back to the newest WDRC Talk of Connecticut show, Real Estate Radio, back for our second week. This is Byron Lazine, One Ants Company at William Ravis Real Estate, along with Nicole White and Heidi DeRusso. Glad you guys came back after last week's show.
Oh, why? What happened? Did something bad happen that we shouldn't come back? Yeah. Was it a disaster?
You guys committed for the rest of your life, and I thought you would just ghost me after last week's show.
Oh, well, I mean, it did take us, you know, well... We're here.
Yeah. We got here. We're all here.
You guys are here.
Thank you for having us back.
No, I'm happy to do the show again with you guys. If you missed the show, you can go on to CT Real Estate Radio, wherever you listen to podcasts, and check out our first show. We covered Connecticut's inventory. We covered the pending sale records that have been set in the last 12 months and the appreciation in your single family homes. We'll get into some more of that here on this show, but we've got a lot to cover. We've interest rates on the rise. What will that mean for your home value? We've got some new tax ideas coming from our state, one of them being marijuana. What does that mean? And the other one, obviously, that we're going to talk about is the proposed mansion tax. So, whole bunch of that. If you're driving around, though, right now, and you want to go to an open house, there is still time for our open houses today. We have over at 66 High Street till 2 o'clock, 66 High Street in downtown Guilford. We are open the award-winning Horton Group Development downtown. You can walk to your martini, walk to the Guilford Green, walk to the train, walk to the beach, walk to everything imaginable in downtown Guilford. 66 High Street, we're open till 2. And if you're up in East Haddam and you want to go to Fox Hop Yard and check out the model home, that is a new Ucello development. We're open till 3 over there, 607 Fox Hop Yard Road. Just pull into the golf course, follow signs to 607, check out the model home. We have new construction custom homes there starting as low as $599. The model home is on for $1.1 million. So go check out 66 High Street in Guilford or Fox Hop Yard, 607 Fox Hop Yard at Fox Hop Yard. So just want to mention that before... You know, we get too far ahead of ourselves. But let's get into these rising interest rates. We have still really all-time lows, but the 30-year fixed rate mortgage is now nearing 3%, which is its highest point since, I believe, last August. The 10-year treasury yield, which mortgage rates closely follow, hit its highest level in the past year, prompting the increase in rates. What's this going to mean for the affordability of the buyers?
So I love the headline grabbers here because it's like it's the highest of all year, but we're not even in March yet. So I do think it's a little bit of a headline grabber. But yeah, I mean, they're going up. I still don't think it's really anything personally for anybody to really worry about. I mean, we're talking about what is it saying? It's at 2.7, 2.9. Last week it was 2.8. But again, this time last year, they're saying it was at 3.4.
Right.
So again, money's still cheap. Obviously, it is going to potentially change some of our, you know, pre-approvals. If you have been a buyer out there in the field for the last 30 to 60 days, maybe go back to your mortgage guy and just mm-hmm. make sure.
Get an updated one.
Right. See what has changed now for your monthly payment. But again, we're talking about dollars here, you know, 10, maybe 40, like dollars. So, but again, what your question is, Byron, the answer is yes. I mean, obviously, it's going to change the value of homes because it's going to change a buyer's buying power.
Right. And like what goes down must come back up. So like, where is it going to stop going up? We don't know. So I think, I don't know if you guys seen it, but I've seen like a little bit of hysteria with like buyers with like the rates rising this week. It's like all of a sudden everybody just kind of wants to go see what's out there, like just in case they continue to go up.
And you're going to see headlines on CNBC, on, you know, CNN, on Fox, wherever you're consuming news, you're going to see headlines about these rising rates, and they are going up, but they are still near historic lows. The all-time low for the 30-year fixed rate was set in January at 2.65%. So it has gone up, you know, I don't know, you know, 0.3% since that time. The 30-year fixed rate mortgage is right now averaging 2.97%, and the 15-year mortgages are averaging 2.34%. Okay, for those of those of us that bought in the early 2000s, these are unheard of rates. And the five-year hybrid adjustable rate mortgage is averaging just about 3%, 2.99%.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I bought my house in 2015. I think I'm at 4.1.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and that was a great number. I mean, 4.1, we were like, woo, we're on top of the world.
I think we had like a 3.5 in like 2011. I was like, wow, this is so great.
I think, like you just reiterated, Byron, it's a lot of headlines. I mean, it's causing, obviously, the conversation to continue around the housing market, but I'm not worried this year, but no.
Nicole White, being the dominating Shoreline real estate agent that she is, knows better that when 4.1, and this is for anybody sitting there right now with a interest rate over 4%, you still have time to go refi.
Absolutely.
You're going to see headlines, is the refi boom over? Nicole, you've been dragging your feet on that one. You going to make that one happen?
Well, to be honest, I'm actually really considering more doing the 15-year. Obviously, that's even lower.
Yeah.
Again, I have two houses. I'm already almost, 17 years into one. So the last thing I actually want to do is refi at a 30-year, because then I'm kind of starting back at the beginning. But
right.
I mean, the 15-year being as low as it is, I would absolutely have hundreds of dollars in my pocket, even if I were just to refi at the 15-year. So, no, I mean, my money's got to start working for me for sure.
Absolutely. And if you're in an interest rate locked in anywhere north of 4%, I'd encourage you to, because we just don't know if the 10-year keeps going up. Typically, mortgage rates will follow. I mean, we could be later in the year, and maybe next week we'll get like Brian Fay, New England Home Mortgage, who we work with a lot. Maybe we'll get somebody on here to talk us through what could happen by the end of the year. We're obviously not going to predict what's going to happen, but I could see 3.5% on a mortgage rate, and that is from 3, and the buyers out there right now used to 2.75 the last couple months. 3.5 is a pretty sizable jump. If you're somebody that's a homeowner, you may want to get your home on the market now while the rates are still low, while the inventory is still low, while the buyer demand is still at an all-time ridiculous high, because the buyers can afford more. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that's been pushing this market up, is the affordability of the buyers being able to say, I know the home's priced at 350, but I can go to 75, and with this low mortgage rate, it doesn't impact my payment. And buyers, especially, obviously in the high end, they're buying for different reasons. But in the median price points, in the average price points in a particular town, the buyers are purchasing based off of their payment. Okay. So if we're going to continue to see the sales go up like we've seen, then it would be nice to see the interest rates low. If sales don't go up, Connecticut's been really benefiting from having all of the state and town conveyance tax, because we saw the most sales ever in 2020. If sales don't go up, what's Connecticut going to do to make up some of that tax revenue? We're going to talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Real Estate Radio, WDRC, the talk of Connecticut.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those.
Real Estate Radio, WDRC, the talk of Connecticut. I'm Byron Lazine, along with Nicole White and Heidi DeRusso, One & Company at William Ravis Real Estate. Our state of Connecticut is looking to find more tax revenue. They're looking at places like marijuana. They're looking at a mansion tax, which doesn't sound like a mansion at all to me. But they are looking to increase tax revenue, and they certainly should be, with the shortfall or the deficit that is coming and looming over Connecticut over the next 2 years. We've made such strides in 2020. Obviously, it was very serendipitous what happened, and COVID has been bad for so many people. But when you look at what's happened to the Connecticut real estate market, it's been a benefit to have gone through this for the market, not for all the other reasons. And our healthcare workers, our heart bleeds for you, and our restaurant owners, for sure. Our small businesses have been through so much. For Connecticut homeowners, finally seeing in 15 years their value come back, it took a 100-year pandemic for that to happen. We've made such great strides. We've welcomed new neighbors from New York and other cities. Now's the time to ride the momentum and make the right decisions. Let's start with marijuana. I think this is one of those, when you're talking about getting more tax revenue, this is a no-brainer to me. And saying it over on our sister station and the show we've had for 4 years over on 94.9, which we have every Saturday at 11. For years, I've been saying, why are we not making marijuana legal? It's not like the marijuana smoker is waiting for permission from Connecticut to go buy their pot. They're going right to do it with or without Connecticut.
Well, but they can, well, right, because you could go right up to Mass and get it. I mean, you can go right to our neighbor. So right now, Connecticut is feeding Massachusetts pockets, for sure. Yeah, it's silly. I mean, and again, I'm reading this article from the Hartford Courant, and it doesn't even sound like we're really even putting this into place until next year. So
right, May 2022, yeah, I guess.
It's again, like you said, though, you've been talking about this for 4 years already. Like, what's the holdup?
We've been so slow to act on this. I mean, Massachusetts is getting a 20% tax on their marijuana. But eight things to know, according to the Current, about Connecticut's latest attempt. They've tried this multiple times to legalize recreational marijuana. So number one, when would marijuana sales begin? To your point, it wouldn't start till May of 2022. I don't understand why this is taking so long. It's going to take the state government about a year to get dispensaries up. This is the problem. If you leave the hands, the problems in the hands of the state, it'll take longer than a year. If you put this into the hands of the private market, it probably could happen next week, because it's already happening. People already have marijuana businesses in Connecticut. I mean, you'd be pretty naive not to know that. How much marijuana can you have? Ooh, how much can you have? Adults 21 and older, they can possess up to 1.5 ounces. OZs, as they used to say back in the day.
In the day? Yeah. How do you know that?
Yeah. Just what I heard.
You heard?
Just what I heard around the block.
Around the block? You know?
Huh. Yeah.
Interesting.
They used to call me Byron around the block.
Like Jenny?
Jenny of
like
the block.
Like Jenny. I was waiting for somebody to catch that. Yeah.
There we go.
What are the tax rates? This is where it gets interesting. This is what we want to talk about. Marijuana would be subject to the following taxes. $1.25 per gram of dry flour, 50 cents per gram of trim, and 28 cents per gram for wet cannabis.
I don't even know what any of that means.
Right, like, this is so confusing.
That sounds dirty.
What is it? I don't even
know. Wet cannabis is...
And then some trim? I mean, the whole thing sounds pretty dirty.
What happens when it dries out?
The wet cannabis.
I mean, that is, let's rename
that.
Like
is that like oils?
Vaping and... Oh. Yeah, like oils. Oils go into the vape pen, so that I believe that's what they're talking about.
Or like,
there.
Don't they put them in food and you can like cook it up too?
Cook it up? Oh, yeah. Like for an edible brownie or something like that. Cookies. There you go.
Yeah.
This is so over my head.
The wet cannabis.
No OZs over here.
So the standard 6.35% sales tax would also apply, and municipalities would collect an additional 3% local sales tax. That's good, because right now our towns are really...
Wow. Fair. Very fair.
Yeah. Well, the towns need something out of this, because they are just literally reliant on real estate taxes. I mean, that's what feeds our schools, that's everything. You know, these local towns are reliant on taxing the heck out of homeowners.
I think, right, though, too, it's actually pretty responsible, because there are going to still be penalties for people that are carrying more than what is allowed. So there's actually probably going to potentially be a lot more police enforcement needed. So again, where is that money coming from? So it does make sense to have a little bit of a tax there, because there is going to be a little bit more oversight,
right?
And a lot more enforcement as well. So yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, obviously the TAOs need the money, but I do think it's probably going towards the policing of it as well.
I don't know why they have to make this so complicated. Like, Massachusetts has 20% tax, a portion of that goes to the towns, a portion goes to the states. Just make it 20%. I agree with overtaxing products like this, alcohol, marijuana, you know, these cigarettes, you know, these types of discretionary items that people can purchase. I would go 20%, just like Massachusetts. I'd give 10% to the towns. I'd give 10% to the states. If you're with me on that, love to hear from you. You can email us radio@re3media.com. Love to hear your feedback on that. All right. Now, where would the money raised go? Lamont, he's calling for at least half of the revenue raised, an estimated $26.8 million by the 2026 budget year, to send back to cities and towns. So I guess on top of the 3%, this is coming out of that $1.25 per gram, the 28 cents per wet. Where do they get 28 cents per wet cannabis? I don't understand that.
I don't know.
A portion of that's going to go back to the towns, an estimated $26 million by, I mean, and how are they going to spread that out? The additional aid will help municipalities whose residents, most from Black and Brown communities, have suffered injustices as a result of racially discriminatory war on drugs, allowing those towns to reduce property taxes. Okay. And a lot of our cities have the highest mill rates. So, those mill rates should come down, especially with the value that
they
homeowners
should.
Are back.
I feel like they say that, and it's just a bunch of BS. I mean, do they really actually ever reduce anything once more money comes in?
No. Just go up.
Yeah,
I don't think anything's going to go down.
That's just, I think that's smoke and mirrors right there. But I do love the fact that they're wanting to increase services and promote social equality or equity. But I just think the whole thing of people really thinking that it's going to reduce the property taxes is silly. I mean,
it's almost odd that they even slipped it in there. Like, well, it had nothing to do with the rest of the state.
Because it sounds good.
Yeah.
People that had past criminal records, those will be expunged. Those convicted of low-level marijuana possession offenses prior to October 1st, 2015 will have their convictions automatically erased. Well, that's good news for those folks.
I wonder why 2015, though. Why?
So after 2015, they won't be?
Before.
Oh, wait, because I guess it was already...
Yeah, it's saying
I think because we've already decriminalized marijuana possession... is what I'm assuming.
I don't even know. Then. I don't even know what the current rules are.
Yeah, I think you can have, going back to the OZ that I just taught you both there, I think you can have maybe not an OZ, but maybe less than that.
Yep.
What other equity provisions are including in the bill? That's all crap. Okay, so what steps are being taken to prevent minors? So again, there's going to be some oversight there. How are state... planning to protect against intoxicated drivers? That's a tricky one, because there's not like a test that you can give somebody, like a breathalyzer. But they're calling for, I mean, this is where it does get a little bit difficult, and maybe why they've been dragging their feet, but dozens of states have already figured it out and are capitalizing billions, not just millions right now, billions in tax revenue. Just go look up Colorado's numbers. So I'm behind this. What do you guys think? You behind it? For it?
I'm down.
Yeah,
I'm behind it. Why not? Yeah,
might as well.
Anything we can do in Connecticut to increase revenue that is not coming out of the pockets of homeowners, because right now every single town is faced with increasing the property taxes of our homeowners to pay to keep their towns beautiful and keep New Yorkers wanting to come and visit or buy second homes or move full time, because the state isn't really helping out our local municipalities. Nicole.
Yes.
You've got another current article.
Yes.
Something that I don't think I'm going to disagree with. What is that?
So this is...
That I don't think I'm going to agree with.
I was going to say, wow, we're really sticking our feet in the ground with this one.
Yeah.
So this is a proposed mansion tax. So what they're wanting to do is there will be an additional state property tax on homes that are valued at $430,000 or more. The article goes on to actually say that what's going to happen is you'll be charged $1 for every $1,000 of assessed value. So for those of you that don't know what assessed value is, it's 70% of your appraised value through the town. So tax on homes assessed at more than $300,000 are those with a market value of $430 or more. So this article actually talks about the fact that this isn't just going to... So obviously down along the shore of Fairfield County is called the Gold Coast. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that this tax is not just going to affect the Gold Coast. There's much of Hartford... The entire state is obviously going to be affected, especially after this year with the median price raising so much. Now there's going to be this additional tax if your home is worth more than $430,000.
We'll talk about what that means for every homeowner here in Connecticut, as well as the One & Company Rewind when we come back. Real Estate Radio, WDRC, the talk of Connecticut. Is your home going to be impacted by the mansion tax? Nicole, what's the number? It's over 430,000.
So it's saying, this is where I have a lot of questions, because it's saying that if your house is assessed at more than 300,000, or if your market value is a 430 or more. So we were sort of talking before the show, what does that mean? Are they going to be appraising our properties every year? Again, we always talk to our buyers about assessments and taxes and the fact that that's really just obviously for tax purposes. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's the market value of a home. But here they're explicitly saying that if your house's market value is a 430 or more, that you will be given this tax. So, I mean, who's policing that?
And then who's paying for all the town workers who are going to be assessing your homes all the time? Because then, where's the increase or the profit of this tax?
And if you look at our average sale price in Connecticut, it is over $430,000 right now, not our median sale price. We talked about this on last week's show. Of course, you can always download our shows on CT Real Estate Radio, wherever you listen to podcasts. But our average sale price is up in the 490s right now as a state. So this is going to hit the average of people, basically, this mansion tax. And they're calling it a mansion tax. Why don't they just call it additional real estate tax? Going back to last segment, the state needs to figure out ways to either reduce costs. That gets into a whole nother rabbit hole, obviously, with our unions in the state and all of that. I don't even want to go there. Or increase revenue in other areas besides real estate, because eventually we'll fall back into the migration patterns that we were talking about for 10 years before we saw a real estate boom in the last year of Connecticut. Those migration patterns were scary. Those were more of our wealth leaving the state than coming in week by week by week. You can go to howmoneywalks.com, the IRS tax map there, to just see the ticker. And every single second we are experiencing wealth leaving our state. All right, before we recap the mansion tax, as they are calling it, we first have our One and Company at William Ravis Real Estate Rewind of the Week. If you have any real estate you'd like to promote, you can email us radio@re3media.com. That's radio@re3media.com. We'd be happy to promote your real estate, open house, new listing. You could be a for sale by owner. You could be an agent, a homeowner, whoever. We'd be happy to promote your real estate on next week's show. But for our team, One and Company at Ravis, for the last 7 days, here is our rewind. Just listed, we had 3 new listings, 54 Cottage Street in Meriden on for $249,900. We have 612 Durham Road in Madison on for $399,900. And 78-7 Bunnington Road in Groton, we talked about that, I think, maybe even last week, maybe not, on for $125,900. New listing now under contract, of course. I don't know, I think maybe even Durham Road in Madison's under contract now, guys. Do you know?
I mean, what was the price at? $299,000? It's probably
no, $399,900.
Well, even at $399,900, I think it's pretty safe to assume it's under contract.
It's gone. Yeah.
I think it is. Yeah. And I think the Cottage Street is. All of our new listings, by the way, I think for this week are already under contract.
Probably.
That's how fast the market's moving. And they were all priced below the mansion tax. So, of course, people are trying to scoop those up before they get into the...
Well, we don't know that because, again, it's market value. So, I mean, a lot of homes are going over list price. So,
yep. Yeah.
I mean, this whole year is dragging these prices up. So like, let's we may not assume there
like varies every day. It's like it's what your opinion is. So who is going to determine that market value?
That's right. All right. The under contracts for our team at One and Company for this week, we had 8 of them. We had under contracts in Cheshire, Wallingford, Guilford, North Haven, New London, North Haven, Madison, and Mottville. And we had 10 closings this week. 1 in Windham, West Haven, Milford, Wallingford, West Hartford, Granby, Milford, Meriden, Guilford, and Middletown. That is your One and Company rewind for the week. There's still time. You got about 20 minutes or so to get over to 66 High Street in downtown Guilford, award-winning Horton Group Development. We have smashed every single condo record in New Haven County with that development. There are 3 units left in the LEAP building. Get over there if you're in the Guilford area. You've got 20 minutes left till 2 o'clock to check out that. And we are open till 3 o'clock over at Fox Hop Yard Road, 607 Fox Hop Yard Road. Just follow the signs when you pull into the golf course over to the model home, 607 Ucello Development. That is your One and Company at William Ravis Real Estate. Rewind and open houses for the week. All right, Nicole, let's recap here on the mansion tax. Who's going to be impacted? What towns are impacted? This is, of course, according to the Hartford Current.
Well, this article really just, we're really talking strictly about Hartford County in this article from Hartford Current. It goes over the top 10 towns that will be affected. It goes over each, it's quite eye-opening because again, it goes West Hartford, it's talking about their median sale price right now is $325,000. And then it goes into Glastonbury, their median sale price is $390,000. It sounds like there's going to be tens of thousands of individuals in the Hartford County that will be affected by this mansion tax. So again, maybe it's good for the bottom line of the state, but I'm not so certain that it's going to be good for the future of Connecticut.
Well, it definitely won't be good for our real estate market.
No, not at all. Absolutely not.
No. And when property taxes rise, home values go down, right? Because that buyer is all about their monthly payment and your taxes are included in that monthly payment. So people are going to be able to afford less as well.
Well, I think what's scary here, though, too, is that this isn't necessarily increasing your town's taxes. So individuals are, you know, giving the mortgage professional, oh, the taxes say it's $5,000, right? But if that property increases in value based on this article over the next 5 or 10 years, you're now all of a sudden potentially having to spend another $3,000 on top of all of that, that when you bought it wasn't even initially there too. Yeah. So it is a little scary. I mean, it's going to potentially put some families into a little bit of jeopardy. You know,
and that kind of happened in Hamden a couple years ago. You guys know, like, the taxes in Hamden are like outrageous. And like one day their mill rate was like 0.75 or something like that, and then it just jumped up like 15 points the next day, and your taxes went from 6,000 to 9,000, and like that really crushed like the families who owned in Hamden.
Hartford, for example, is at already a 74.29 mill rate. Waterbury, 60.21. Bridgeport, 53.99. New Britain is also over 50. New Haven, for example, is over 40 to almost 43. You can Google one and company mill rates, and we will populate right to the top if you go one and company mill rates, or you can just email radio@re3media.com. We'll send you a link to that. We have every single mill rate listed out in the state of Connecticut. And this money here, right, when these towns are being taxed, when you're paying your property taxes, that's going to the town to pay for the schools, the roadways, you know, if you have town police force, you know, whatever. Whatever amenities, maybe you have garbage pickup in your town, maybe you don't. Whatever amenities you have in your town, that's where your property taxes are going to pay for that. This mansion tax is going to be now doubling down on the tax burden of homeowners, but that money is going to the state because the state has nowhere, they're not bringing in businesses, they're losing businesses, right? They're not being creative on other ways to increase their taxes. And the only real thing Connecticut has is homeowners, right? Like that's the only thing we've got. We've got beautiful real estate. We've got New Yorkers now coming out and buying second homes. And so they're going to the path of least resistance. It's going to blow up in their face. It's going to hurt our market. We talked about in the first segment, interest rates are going up. You put interest rates and taxes on top of an already highly taxed state, you will see people leave again. It's just, it's basic math, right? There's only so much money somebody can give to live in our great state. So I hope this does not happen.
No, I agree. And again, even if they're not leaving, I'm certain that those move-up buyers may reconsider moving up, right? I mean, we rely so much on those move-up buyers so that the entry-level buyer has something to buy. But if we don't have any move-up buyers, and what we mean by a move-up buyer is someone that's moving from, you know, like that small condo or their first home into, you know, that larger home, which certainly fits this criteria, right. It could just, again, it could really put a screeching halt on the entire real estate market in the state for sure.
Real Estate Radio, we come back. We will talk some more about this potential mansion tax and some of the other ways Connecticut is trying to generate money outside of our great real estate market. Real Estate Radio, WDRC, the talk of Connecticut. Real Estate Radio, WDRC, the talk of Connecticut. I'm Byron Lazine along with Nicole White and Heidi DeRusso, one in company at William Ravis Real Estate. We're talking about the interest rates going up, our great real estate market, which continues to thrive, but maybe some of the outside forces that include interest rates, but coming from our own state that could start to trip up this market and our home value appreciation. Wall Street Journal reports as Connecticut's governor, Ned Lamont, crafts a budget plan to close deficits exceeding $1 billion in the next two fiscal years. A coalition of Democratic lawmakers is pressuring him to raise taxes to help residents struggling financially during the pandemic. Okay, so this group of lawmakers, they want to declare a fiscal emergency, and they proposed a $3 billion legislative package of new spending on education, property tax relief, and a one-time stimulus payment of $500 for people who lost their jobs during the pandemic. So it's going to, the property tax relief is only targeted towards those who lost their job. Lawmakers propose paying for these new items, and this is where things get a little ridiculous. By raising taxes on the wealthy and on corporations to produce now more than, this is where they get a little fuzzy math. They're going to produce more than $4 billion in new revenue annually by just jacking up taxes on the wealthy and on these corporations. The proposal includes establishing a 5% surtax on capital gains for individuals making more than $500,000 annually and raising the state's top income tax bracket to 12.696%. That would put us the second highest in the nation after California. Of course, right now, you're at about a 7% state income, so they want to basically double that. Why not just double that one up? Go over, I encourage everybody, go over to howmoneywalks.com. This is an IRS tax migration map. And you can see, including this year, and Nicole, we talked about this on the Real Word podcast. We were surprised that in 2020, Connecticut lost more residents, lost more people due to migration than we brought in. Year after year, we are losing people to migration. And if you go to the How Money Walks, it happens to be the highest earners in our state. So who's going to be left to tax if our corporations keep leaving, if our high earners keep leaving? Who is going to be left to levy these 13% state income taxes on that this group of lawmakers is presenting to Lamont? So I've been talking about it for years. We mentioned in the show, there's some easy opportunities to raise taxes. That's taxing the marijuana that's already being sold in your state illegally on the black market. Dozens of states are already doing it. That's an easy one. This one here, to me, it's just not very smart. It would hurt the entire economy. It would definitely hurt our real estate, because when you have high earners leaving, what are they leaving behind? High levels of inventory on the luxury market, right? And that just kind of stops when you start to build up inventory at the top end, what Nicole, you were talking about prior, I think on the last segment, that stops the ability for people to move up, to be that move up buyer.
Right, which inevitably then brings your price values down. So, right. I mean, this tax can inevitably too sort of, you may actually lose people too, you know, like, because it's just going to drag all these prices down. What are they going to do? Like, keep reducing the mansion tax as the values go down too? Yeah. I don't know. It's the whole thing's crazy.
There you go.
Oh, God.
And then it's just going to be across the board.
The whole thing doesn't make a lot of sense.
Nope.
Well, this is what happens when we put the power into our government. Nothing really makes sense, right? If you would have used the momentum we have in the last 12 months, I've been very bullish on saying, hey, instead of having all these New Yorkers, I mean, how many New Yorkers have we all seen come into our state? Like, we have our exclusive Zillow contract. I mean, how many New York buyer leads are we getting right now, guys? It's crazy, right?
What's so funny though is I feel like, you know, every time you put a house on the market in the past, they always talked about how are you going to get that New York buyer. Right. But there never were really any of those New York buyers, and this is the first year that we can say there's
almost
New York.
Every other buyer, there's a New York buyer. Yeah,
there's tons of New York buyers. Yeah,
and so I've been like, over on our other show, 94.9 on Saturdays, 11, I've been talking about, hey, why are we not trying to convince these guys to be full-time residents, these New Yorkers? Because are you guys seeing anybody as a full-time resident? The stats show us that they're all buying second homes. How about the people you're working with, Heidi?
I would say some are. Well, it's 50-50. Some are like their weekend home, their family home, or they want to like Airbnb it out half the time. And others are just, they're done. Like I just had a home inspection yesterday with a cute couple from Brooklyn. They are moving here full time. It took them a year to make the decision, but full time, they'll go to the city once, maybe twice a week, and they're going to stay put here.
And there has been some of that. The numbers show us it's been more across second homeowners. Now, we had such momentum for the last year, but some New Yorkers bought in upstate New York to get out of the city. Some bought in New Jersey. Some left the Northeast altogether. Mm-hmm. If we had incentivized, talk about something that would actually bring long-term wealth to the state of Connecticut, because we are a state that has state income tax, unfortunately. But since we already have it, we're not going backwards, right? But if you get more people, if you switch the migration pattern and you get more people into the pool paying, you're naturally going to have an increase in taxes. So we should have been over the last 12 months saying, hey, if you make your primary residence Connecticut, we're going to give you that tax benefit that these lawmakers are talking about on your state income tax, right? And then when you have them here, you know, they're not just going to move out after 2 years. They're going to learn to love the state and all this kind of stuff, right? Once you have them there, now you're collecting on that state income tax. Then you can take that increase in tax revenue and hand it to the people that need the help. But maybe it was a property tax, benefit for 2 years. Maybe it's something with the state income tax for 2 years, but some type of tax incentive to be like, wow, I'm looking in upstate New York. I'm done looking in New Jersey. I'm done looking in Florida. I'm just going to go right next door, stay close to the city, and I'm going to move over to Connecticut. We see in our Zillow app all the time that people are looking like, what the heck? This person's all... They were looking here on the Connecticut shoreline. Now they're looking in Jersey. What is going on? Jersey,
or I get a lot that are like looking in California. I'm like, wow, they're all over the board, yeah, too. Yep.
It's always fun to watch. You're like Connecticut.
House shopping.
Hawaii. Yeah.
Okay.
I do think, though, that I agree with you, Byron. I mean, I think that even with that incentive, I still believe that there are a lot of people that do, you know, again, we're talking about that migration to Florida, but I do still feel as though those individuals that are moving to Florida, probably some of them still have a house here in Connecticut. They're just declaring Florida as their primary residence.
Right.
So again, if there's some sort of incentive in that regard, maybe some of those will come back to claim Connecticut as their primary residence and Florida no longer.
And that's the problem with the state revenue. It's, yeah, can keep a house in Connecticut to come up for the summers, and I'm happy to pay the property taxes. Those are going to go to the town in which my second home is there, but I'm getting out of the state income tax, so that, you know, 7% is not going to the state. So the state now keeps losing this tax revenue. They're faced with this $1 billion deficit that the Wall Street Journal cited. And how are they going to make that up? Or are we just going to continue to go in deeper and deeper into debt? All right, we're gonna wrap this show up. Appreciate everybody listening. If you've got, again, we mentioned earlier, if you've got any real estate to promote, you can always do so by emailing us radio@re3media.com. In fact, if you are a homeowner, a for sale by owner, or even an agent, the first one that emails us your property to promote next week, we're gonna give you a gift card. This is part of Martin's Money, our sponsor over at Service Station Equipment. We're going to buy you lunch or dinner at a restaurant here in Connecticut. Email over radio@re3media.com. Heidi and Nicole, what do you guys got for this week? What's your final take on what people should know either about the market or maybe even a new listing that you have coming up or something you want to promote?
New listings can't divulge in them yet, but basically, if you're on the fence of selling, just jump in now because interest rates are rising, taxes will rise. Like, get in there, get in the market.
And again, if you are on the fence or are curious where your house has increased, I definitely advise you to have some come over. You know, obviously, anyone here at One & Company is happy to sit down and go over that. You know, there's no commitment, no cost.
No pressure.
I definitely think that it's an important step, especially, again, maybe you're not looking to sell this year, but in 2-3 years, or maybe you were thinking later in the year. But I definitely think it's important for everybody right now to get educated. And we're certainly always helped to sort of educate without any pressure. So.
And if you want to talk to either one of these, you can go to one of these two great agents, Heidi at oneandcompany.com. That's O-N-E-A-N-D company, all spelt out. Or Nicole at oneandcompany.com. You can just find us easily, oneandcompany.com, of course. And if you'd like to join the team, maybe you're someone who did lose their job and you're thinking about an opportunity in real estate, we are giving out 12 real estate scholarships. I think, what are we down to now, Nicole? I think we got 7 left scholarships.
I wouldn't even know.
Seven
are you
or
kidding
eight.
Me? I don't even know what day it is.
We've given out 4 or 5 so far. We're giving out scholarships where we pay for your real estate schooling. So if you're thinking about a new opportunity, new career change, go to realestateagentscholarship.com. That's realestateagentscholarship.com. All right, great show. We'll see you guys back here next week. I urge you, my final takeaway is I urge you to fight against your local leaders, our state leaders, against this mansion tax. It would be detrimental to our real estate market, which has finally, after 15 years, made a comeback. All right, we'll see you guys here next week and every Sunday at 1 p.m. Real Estate Radio on WDRC, the Talk of Connecticut.